This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I have to remind myself of that often because I let the world get to me. Perhaps you have that problem at times too. And I don't think it would hurt for us to start every day with that phrase to remind us the Lord is in charge, that our problems are what they are. We all have our own set. And the Lord will provide a way to make it through the day, no matter what those problems are. And I thought I was having a bad day the other day. And I went down, I was headed down from Ankeny on the interstate and turned off the Mixmaster to go west. And down there in the ditch was a semi with an oversized load. And he had driven right off the curb, it looked like, unless somebody had forced him off. And he was sitting down there in the mud with water running underneath his trailer. And I decided I hadn't had a bad day yet. We are in the second season of the year. Does anybody know what that is? Some would say spring. There's another viewpoint that say we only have two seasons of the year. So now what would your answer be?
Construction.
We have winter, and then we have the road construction season. Anybody seen that sign this year? If I asked you how to get to Iowa City from here, 99% of you would say, well, the fastest way would be to go on Interstate 80 unless you got access to an airplane. And so that would be our chosen path because most of us view driving as wasted time. And so if Interstate 80 was closed and we had to find another way, we would be irritated because we feel like we are being cheated out of time that we could use doing something else in order to just get from point A to point B. You know, in life, none of us get to go the preferred path all the time. Every day, there's something that comes up, whether it's driving or something else in your life, that makes you take a different course of action than what you would have preferred to have done. And there are some people that rarely get to go the preferred way. And with the state of our state, the state of our country, the state of our world, especially the last 2 years, have set many of us on detours that we would have preferred not to have taken. And there are many that lay ahead. They are going to be paths that we have to go down that we wouldn't choose willingly in a perfect world. It's not a perfect world. You will have detours. So how do we prepare? One way is to look back at others. We can become depressed at the choices that we are forced to make, or we can find a way to ask the Lord to help us through. Now you're going to have to bear with me with the following list we're going to go through because it's not one you're going to like. But hopefully it will get us to a point in the lesson that maybe you can see why it was brought up. And a lot of things in this lesson are for me, to maybe help me find a better way to cope with my detours. In our red book, number 666, in the back, the first verse of the song, Jesus is Coming Soon, says, troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedom we all hold dear now is at stake. Humbling your heart to God saves from the chastening rod. Seek the way pilgrims trod, Christians awake. Troublesome times. If we want to get depressed, we turn the TV on. Or we pick up a paper and we can find something that will do the job. Approximately 3 weeks ago, and I did not see the paper on a regular basis, but I happened to this day, and I wish I could have saved the article. But it indicated in the headline that nearly 75% of our youth between the ages of 18 and 25 may not be able to qualify for military service because they are either grossly obese or they have a criminal record. And so the point was, can our country even defend itself with this trend? The thing that's in the news now is the oil spill contaminating the Gulf of Mexico. The fact that our government will have over $1 trillion in deficit this year. The fact that a terrorist attack in Times Square failed 2 weeks ago. The Iran war, Greece is defaulting on loans, the Afghanistan war, the unemployment, and the economy are all things that say, let me get away, I don't want to hear any more. Whatever happened to the good old days? And if I think it was B. Warren, when she heard that phrase one time, she said, the way I remember it, the good old days weren't that good. She grew up in a time during the Depression, raising a family that was full of hardships. And so any of us can look at any point of time and probably find things that are detours in life that we didn't really want to experience. So if we try to get out of the day present and go back in time to see if we can find the good old days, there are some there. But if we go back in time 9 or 10 years, 9 years ago I was digging Mark Herman's basement, and then 9/11 struck one of the days I was working there. And shortly thereafter, we lost Mark's mother, about 6 weeks later. It was a loss for us and a victory for her. And if we go back another 10 years into the 1990s, we see the world dealing with Saddam Hussein as he has invaded Kuwait and started the Gulf War. And if we go back another 10 years and go into the 1980s, when Jimmy Carter was president, I built my house on Mom and Dad's farm. They gave me the ground. It was the only way I could afford to do anything. Because the interest rates at that year, I found my mortgage the other day from that year, 1984. It was at 12%. And I had one of the lower ones. Interest rates for mortgages were in the teens. The country of Iran had overthrown its government and was holding Americans hostage for over 400 days. So let's go back to the 1970s. When Joyce and I was married, there was an oil shortage. We moved up closer to Des Moines. As gas rationing took place for a while where they would only let you buy so many gallons. So let's go back to the 1960s, and we have the Vietnam War and the turmoil from that. In the 1950s, the Cold War was going on with the nuclear arms race. Schools were being fitted to become fallout shelters in case the nuclear war started. And in the 1940s, we had World War II. In the 1930s, the Great Depression. And if you listen to the weather on the coldest and hottest days on record, many of them came from 1934, 1935, or 1936. So we can go on and find troublesome times have always been here, and they will continue. The generations that lived before us have had them, and they will, and we will continue to have them. Troublesome times are always nearby. It's nothing new. So I'd like to go way back, if we could, and look at a character from Bible times. Who would be better to deal with turmoil than the Apostle Paul? Whenever I study on this man and others, I am ashamed of how my petty problems have gotten me depressed. I'm going to read a little bit to you about Paul here. Paul was considered the apostle to the Gentiles. His original name was Saul, which was considered a grander title than Paul, but he took on the name of Paul after becoming an apostle. Here's a brief summary of this energetic, commanding, masterful man who is one of the greatest characters not only in the Bible, but in all of the world history. He was a native of Tarsus, and his father was a Roman, a fact significant in Paul's labors. He was a Pharisee Jew, a Pharisee by birth, son of a Pharisee, and a Pharisee by belief, and the fact that he had hope in resurrection of the dead. He was a freeborn citizen of Rome. He had a strict religious training. Circumcision admitted him to the covenant relation of his fathers. As a Jewish boy, he would memorize scripture and familiarize himself with Jewish history. He was a tent maker by trade. What is commanded of a father towards his son? To circumcise him, to teach him the law, and to teach him a trade. He had received a good education, finishing up under the great philosopher Gamaliel. And as Paul quotes from the Greek poets, he must have been well acquainted with Greek philosophy and literature. He not only studied regular education, but he was a graduate of the College of Life's Experiences. He had been a persecutor of Christ and of Christians and endeavored to stamp out the Christian faith. He became a new creature in Christ. The persecutor became a believer. Paul never tired of telling the story of his striking conversion on the Damascus Road. I'm not going to have time to read all of this. I'm going to end with the last paragraph. Paul's bodily size and appearance may have been against him. Judging from second century description of him, he was a man little of stature, partly bald, with crooked legs, of vigorous physique, with eyes set close together and a nose somewhat hooked. What he was in his appearance mattered little. Paul lived only to win others to Christ and to make him known. If legend be true, at the end of his honored life, his foes led him out to the Appian Way, where they severed his noble head from his frail body, and he died triumphantly for the Lord he dearly loved. To him, life was always in being able to be with Christ again, and death allowed him to have that happen. You're going to need your Bibles from this point. I may not be able to cover all the things that I had written down. Apostle Paul is first mentioned in Acts, the 7th chapter, verse 58, at the stoning of Stephen. And it says that the people laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. In Acts, the 22nd chapter, verse 3 and 4, we get a little background. Acts 22, 3 and 4. I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous towards God as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. Acts 26, verses 4 through 12. I probably will not read all that, but Acts 26, verses 4 through 12. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God and to our fathers. And through this, he makes his presentation to King Agrippa, verifying his Jewish heritage. In Philippians, the 3rd chapter, verses 3 through 8, he makes a comment that I want to bring up. Philippians 3, verses 3 through 8. He talks about his Jewish heritage. In verse 6, he says, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Nothing else mattered to him in the world. He counted them as worthless. Once he realized that Christ was the Son of God. Galatians, the 1st chapter, verses 13 and 14. Speaks about a regret. Galatians 1, 13 and 14. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Paul referred to himself in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, in a humble manner, realizing the harm that he had done. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 8. And last of all, Christ was seen of me as of one born out of due season. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church. But by the grace of God I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Paul had an unusual opportunity to be able to present the gospel to the rulers of the world of that time. He appeared before Agrippa and Felix in Acts the 24th and 26th chapters. And in Acts the 9th chapter, Acts chapter 9, verse 15 and 16, when Paul had been converted, and Ananias feared to be able to meet with Paul, the Lord told Ananias this. He says, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Paul went from being the hunter to being hunted. In that very same chapter after his conversion, when he was on his way to arrest people, He himself became the hunted. In the ninth chapter, verse 21 through 30, we hear the story of immediately after he begins to preach, people take vows to try and kill him. A couple years ago, we had a class on Wednesday night, and I had one of the boys put on a t-shirt, and I had everybody else in the class took a magic marker, and we made one stripe on his back. Remember that, Nico? And by the time we got 39 stripes on the back of that t-shirt, there wasn't hardly any white left. Paul had that done 5 times. Can you imagine? I think the only reason that this is only mentioned once in the Bible is that Paul did not want to diminish the sufferings of our Lord. But we just read in the ninth chapter of Acts, the Lord told Ananias, I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Paul was very repentive of the persecution that he'd done to the church before he was converted. But there was a price that he paid for choosing to switch sides. Can you imagine spending your life on the run to a degree? He never backed off from life's challenges, but in order for him to do the Lord's work, he had to preserve life until those things were accomplished. I don't know of one time since I became a Christian if somebody wanted to kill me for it. Paul daily had to guard against it. I'm having to leave out a bunch of this. I have too many scriptures written down to get through. So, when Paul finally did bring up what he had been through, it was only to defend his credibility of presenting the gospel against false teachers. And he brought up in 2 Corinthians 11th chapter, if you would turn with me there, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. 3 times was I beaten with rods. 1 was I stoned and left for dead. 3 times I suffered shipwreck, and a night and a day I have spent in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils of the heathen, in perils of the city and the wilderness. In all these physical weariness and painfulness, besides those things that I had to deal with within the church, who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. Not only did Paul go through all these 5 beatings of 39 stripes, 3 more with rods, it probably wasn't any easier. And being stoned, and they thought they'd killed him. But the Lord did not allow him to die because he still had work to do. We have a song that says, I am not ashamed. There is a time that I am ashamed. Hopefully I'm not ashamed to own that I'm a Christian. But when I prepared this lesson this morning and went through all the things that Paul went through in his life, I was ashamed. Every one of us have detours in life. We have to take paths we didn't want to go down. And we can all get depressed over those detours. Paul was on detour all his life. He wanted to do the Lord's will, so technically I suppose you couldn't say it was a detour. But I don't imagine he would have chose to serve years in prison simply for spreading the word of God. He wouldn't have chose to go through five beatings to being put on the 39 stripes was considered the edge of death. So Paul was put on the edge of death five times with that. They thought he'd killed him when they stoned him, and the rod's probably done a similar thing. And yet, Paul persevered through all that we might have an example to look back in history when we are discouraged, to see that he did it. You can too. You will have detours that you don't like. Paul did it. So can we. If we can be of help to you this morning to improve your relationship with God, or maybe to start one, we're going to give you a chance as we sing an invitation song.